Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on the bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4227. The great Brian McNally is back on the bench from the Fan in D.C. What's up, buddy?
Scotty, what's up? What's going on, pal?
Chilling. Hey, so I guess we wanted to talk Cousins with you for the most part. So let me ask you first of all, because he keeps doing this pretty much these tag deals, right? He's just getting filthy rich playing for big dollars for 1 year at a time. I've heard all this stuff that his faith made him not sign the long-term deal with the club, and my first question is, do you I don't think he's don't get me wrong, I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's bad at all. I think the guy's a, you know, a pretty good quarterback, but I don't think he's a great quarterback. Do you think this is a whole lot of hoopla over nothing, like that they're just like, I've never seen anything like the attention that this guy gets for the most part. I just think it's overwhelming how he's just, I mean, this guy gets as much attention as anyone in the NFL. I mean, you would think he's Aaron Rodgers or something. I mean, right. This guy isn't that good. He's okay. I mean, he's done 25-12. I'm not going to deny that's good. But, you know, they're not winning enough, and they're not winning in the playoffs. So at the end of the day, does he even matter?
Well, I mean, it's a great question, Scott, because you're looking at a guy who, you know, even the highest level, you know, the Kirk Cousins fans probably aren't going to put him much higher than the 8 to 12 range, right? Among if you're ranking quarterbacks, you're going to probably put him in that range. If you're not a fan, maybe you put him down closer to 14 or 15 or 16, somewhere in there. But I'm a fan. I think he's a little better than that. I think he's in that 8 to 12 range, good enough to win you some games in the playoffs, certainly good enough to get you there. He proved that a couple of years ago. But is he worth top quarterback dollar money? You know, is he worth $90 million fully guaranteed or the numbers that we're hearing thrown around? I think the problem, Scott, ultimately is you're correct, and the Redskins are correct, in that Kirk is not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Roethlisberger. He's not Brady. He's not in their class as a quarterback. But unfortunately, the dynamics of what the position is going to get paid here in the next couple of years means you're going to be paying insane amounts of money for guys who are in that 8 to 14 range. And he also had the added luxury, Scotty, of having a kind of a career year just as he was going to be a free agent, right? He was a fourth-round pick. He didn't become a starter till that last year when the Redskins finally moved on from Robert Griffin III and had a great year and led them to the playoffs and a division title. And he's been able to parlay that into a position where now the Redskins are uncomfortable paying him that level of money. They don't want to commit to that high salary cap figure. And unfortunately, they're kind of stuck. It's either overpay a guy you might not quite want to do that to, or end up back in the wilderness like the Jets are, all these organizations that don't have quarterbacks. So it's a tough scenario even for the Redskins because, you know, you don't want to pay the guy that much money, but you also don't want to be back out on the street looking for a quarterback, and that's kind of their choice at this point.
So Brian McNally with us. He covers the Redskins for the Fan and D.C. great station. Let me ask you this. Okay, so I don't think he's better than Eli Manning, and I don't think he's better than Dak Prescott, to be honest with you. And I think he's better than Carson Wentz. So I'm going to put him at third in his own division. And I also, look, he's not better, we know, than Brady, Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, Matt Stafford, Philip Rivers, Cam Newton. I'm going to put him down.
Yeah, you got him in the 16 range, 16 to 20.
I do. I don't even listen. I think Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston are as good as him. That's just me. And now I am not being like mean at this point about this guy. I'm just like, this is my reality. I do think he's productive. I think that he is usable and effective. I don't think he's bad. I've tried to reiterate that with you. I'm not trying to be disrespectful toward the guy. I think he's got game. But I don't believe for 1 minute he's worth anywhere near $24 million a year. And the day they give him $34 million a year, I'm going to cut my wrists.
That's going to be, yes, in a cap system, Scotty, where maybe the cap next year gets to 180. Maybe it's a little more. Maybe it's 185. If you're paying 34 to one guy, you are royally screwed. I mean, you're not going to be able to improve your team. And as you kind of hinted at this earlier, the Redskins are a good team, right? They have good players. You know, Jordan Reed is a star. Trent Williams. But defensively, they're kind of a train wreck. You know, offensively, they can put up points. They're entertaining. I think Jay Gruden's a good coach. But they're probably maxed out at a make the playoffs type of team. And you know, that doesn't really, that's the netherworld. If you're not competing for a title and you don't really have a realistic chance of making a playoff run or getting to a Super Bowl, what are you doing? You're kind of stuck in the middle a little bit. And so you wonder, you bring that up. So let's say they moved on from Kirk. Let's say they just let Kirk hit the open market or, you know, tried to transition tag him and trade him next year and don't get much for him, but maybe they trade him to the Niners and they get, you know, a second round pick and a player or something. Let's say that happens. Then you're going, okay, well, here's Colt McCoy, who I know they're actually fans of. Believe it or not, they actually like Colt McCoy. Jay Gruden has had some success with him. You'd be paying him a fraction of that money, you know, like $4 million a year or whatever it is. At maybe what production are you going to get? Maybe two-thirds of the production if you have weapons around him. So that's kind of where the Redskins are. Do you want to? Is that money better suited to have a bridge quarterback like McCoy, draft somebody next year, and then, you know, surround him with weapons and their offensive line is really good, and you know, maybe you can start building towards something with that money and do other things than just spend $30 million on a quarterback when your team's probably not good enough overall, especially defensively, to make any kind of run or do much more than challenge for the final playoff spot. That's kind of the calculus the Redskins front office has to make here over the next couple of months.
What is the deal with is he really religious? And he started saying no offense to anyone. I'm not trying to be offensive, but is he really saying that Jesus is going to make the decision for him?
Well, Kirk is definitely an evangelical. I mean, his dad is a pastor,
right?
In the Orlando area, he grew up in Michigan and spent some time in Chicago. But his dad is a pastor, and he has kind of come up in that way and lives that worldview. His faith is, I'll say this for him, Scott. His faith is, it's not phony. When you talk to him, this is a guy who wants to do things, you know, with it. When he gets money, he's going to do something with it. He's not going to spend it on random items that don't do anything to help other people.
Right.
He comes by it naturally. And if you talk to him in person, he's a good dude. I mean, he is not a phony. There's not a phony bone in his body. But I do get that kind of rubs people the wrong way a little bit when you just kind of throw it up in God's hands and say,
right.
It's up to him if I end up in San Francisco or not. People are going to kind of push back on that a little
bit. People are going to freak out.
It is part of who he is.
People are going to freak out is what's going to happen. Yeah. Let me ask you this. If he's telling that, you know, if he's such a Christian, then he's obviously, if he's so religious, he has to tell the truth. When he says he wants to stay in Washington, he must be telling the truth, because if he's so born again, he's not lying through his teeth. I've never met a Christian in my life. Believe me, my family was filled with them. They were all born again and everything else. And then I was the bad seed. But no, I mean, honestly, like, I believe in God and everything. I go to Mass, but I've been taught in church, if you're a Christian, you don't lie all day about things. So you would tend to believe then that he's telling the truth when he says that he wants to stay in Washington for the rest of his career. Or why would he lie if he's so Christian? Most born-again Christians that I know are not liars.
I would say he is willing to stay in Washington under the right circumstances. I don't know if he's directly lying there or just kind of telling the audience who he knows is listening what they want to hear a little bit. I mean, people are already freaking out here that he turned down the, you know, wouldn't renegotiate with, or wouldn't build on the Redskins' offer and try to get more money. They're kind of on our station, especially today, people kind of turned on him a little bit.
Really?
Which is silly. I mean, a player has every right to get as much money as he possibly can. Does he want to stay here? I think he sees benefits to staying here. I think Jay Gruden has stood up for him when management didn't believe in him, has given him a chance. I think he's got good weapons. Like I said, he's got Jordan Reed. He's got Terrell Pryor, Jamison Crowder. I mean, he's got some – so there's reasons he would want to stay in Washington. Having said that, there's also a reason – there was almost no amount of money the Redskins could have paid him to pass up the chance to maybe be a free agent at the end of the season. He wants to punch his own ticket. And I think he wants to also maybe raise the boat here for other players, other quarterbacks especially, but other players around the league in terms of the amount of guaranteed money he can get. He's about to be a unicorn, right? Scott, I mean, he's about to be a quarterback who could hit the open market in his prime. And even if he's not a top 10 guy or whatever, he is going to be able to break the bank, and that will help other players. And I do get the sense that matters to him. He even mentioned it today on our station. We had him on for an exclusive interview, and that stuff to him matters. He really kind of pushes it and says, you know, that's something I have to think about and not just settle for a hometown discount or anything like that people want him to do. So, long story short, to answer your question, Washington's still attractive to him. I think he would still sign here, but more than likely he's going to find a different landing spot in a place where, you know, he's comfortable and will be able to get paid the money that he thinks he deserves, or at least that the market is willing to bear for quarterbacks these days.
So Jason Cole came on here last night and said that they offered him Carver High, what was it, 2 years, basically?
Somewhere in like the 50-plus million guaranteed.
53, I think, fully guaranteed.
That was it, though. And he said basically at the end of the day that the offer sucked.
Yeah, he told him to kick rocks because he's getting 24 this year, and the transition tag next year is 28. So essentially they were granting him $300,000 extra to sign like a five-year deal where the final 4 years weren't guaranteed. I mean, that was – the Redskins, you know, you can argue whether he's worth the money he was asking, but the Redskins, given his leverage, did not make a credible offer. And I know they're frustrated. They were frustrated that agent Mike McCartney didn't come back to them and kind of essentially didn't negotiate. You know, he said, look, I know what my floor is. My floor is the transition tag next year and what you've already agreed to pay me this year, which is $24 million on the franchise tag. So I see no reason to negotiate if you're not going to at least give us that much money. The Redskins beat it, but just barely. And to the Cousins camp, that was nowhere near what the market will bear next year. Now, is he risking it? A little bit. I mean, he could have a bad year or whatever. But honestly, Scott, if he rolls the dice and loses, what's he going to sign for? $18 million? You know, he's going to get Brock Osweiler's contract. He's going to be fine either way. He's already made life-changing money. So to me, you know, it was smart of him and his agent. They have played this perfectly. They have played their leverage to the maximum and set themselves up to maybe be able to go out on the open market and shop themselves to every quarterback-starved team in the league and maybe find a spot that's more to their liking.
Great stuff tonight, Brian. Appreciate you talking Cousins with us, filling us in on all the details. Love it. Hey, thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio. As always, brother, keep doing your thing on The Fan.
Appreciate it, Scotty. Thank you.
There he is, Brian McNally on the bench, 855-212-4CBS.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so we continue the week with some solid baseball matchups. Arizona, after they got J.D. Martinez, they're in Cincinnati. St. Louis at Citi Field. L.A.'s on the south side of Chicago. The boys in blue. Detroit, Kansas City, San Diego, Colorado. At Coors, Tampa's in Oakland, Washington's in Anaheim, Cleveland and San Francisco, and the Bombers are in Minnesota. They're up 6-3 tonight. Get the best picks for every game every day at PharrellOnTheBench.com. We have top-shelf daily fantasy lineups. No one touches us when it comes to boxing and MMA snacks. The best results and the best price in the business. PharrellOnTheBench.com sets the standard. Don't forget, pro and college football is right around the corner doing push-ups. Sign up today at PharrellOnTheBench.com. So there you go. I was just looking at it, Mafia, what we did to that team tonight. So we held, so their big guy averaged 25 a game. He, Messina, he had 11. He was 5 of 13. No one was, like, gloriously shooting the rock tonight. D-Gash had 13. His brother Paulie had 12. You told me he got hurt in the nightcap. He played in another game and got hurt?
Yeah, one of the teams didn't show up. So basically it was an all-star game of our two teams for the second game, and he ended up going down.
And it was an ankle?
I think it was an ankle. It seemed like what he was icing. He sounded like he thought he broke it when he first went down, the way he was talking after he was laying on the ground. Then they dragged him off to the side and gave him some ice.
So there you go. That was it. They had four guys. Had they had 11, 13, 12, and then Alex had 13. Doc had none. Justin had 3. Kenny had 5. And that was it. It was Coco, 26, 17 boards, 3 block shots. You had 12 points, 14 boards, and 2 dimes, 2 block shots. And then I had 16 and 9 rebounds. But that was it. 3 of us had double figures. But your boy Killer had 8 points and 8 dimes. I'll take those 8 dimes every day. And Foz had 7 points, 3 boards, 2 dimes, and a steal. I had a steal, he had a steal, and Killer had a steal. That wasn't bad. What did we do? Rebounds, 48 to 26. That was the key. I thought that was the key. Was that not the key?
Absolutely. I didn't get second chances.
And our 5 block shots between you and him, they had 2.
We had more than that, too. They just didn't credit us with all of them.
It was impressive. Very impressive. Very impressive effort right there, Mafia, I got to say. So at the end of the day, we were talking about Kirk Cousins. What do you think, Carver High, of that whole conversation we just had with McNally? That he believes that the guy's honest, that he wants to stay there. He'd be more than happy to stay there if they gave him a fair deal. But the bottom line is, it sounds like they have not offered him a fair deal. They offered him a 2-year guaranteed deal, and the rest of that deal was crap. And that's the bottom line.
They didn't offer him a long-term deal because they don't believe in him. And honestly, I don't blame him because I don't think he's that great. I'm with you kind of. I mean, you kind of had him. You had Dak above him already. I don't know.
Do you disagree with that?
I think you need to see a little more from Dak before we go there. And he had a great first year. But I don't think Cousins is all that. I get quarterbacks, you got to pay him a lot of money. But I don't know. If I'm him, they want to keep franchising me and paying me 25 this year, 34 next year.
Can you believe how much money they're paying him?
And if they don't franchise him, he's going to run himself off to San Francisco, and they're going to give him a ton of cash. So I think he's in a great position, and I don't believe he'll ever sign a long-term deal with the Redskins.
So I looked at this. Here's the teams. The Niners, Browns, Jets, Rams, Cardinals, Jaguars, Vikings, Broncos, and Bills are the teams that would be interested in him, allegedly. First of all, I barely think, I mean, Simeon and Lynch, I don't think Elway's given up on them for Kirk Cousins. I don't believe that. I don't know. I think he's in the same neighborhood as Bradford and Bridgewater, to be honest with you.
I think he's better than those guys.
He's better than Blake Bortles, I think.
Definitely.
Arizona would be a place I'd be interested in if I were him, because Carson Palmer's done.
And they've got a lot of weapons.
I wouldn't want to play Jared Goff. They're not getting rid of Jared Goff, the Rams.
You know, I heard a couple people saying this week that if he had a really bad year, that they'd think about just cutting bait before they even get started if he had another bad year.
Really? The Browns have a bad situation, but I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't want to play in Cleveland. They're bad luck. That franchise is bad luck. I don't care what you say. They suck. No offense to everybody on the fan in Cleveland, but just stick to the Cavs, thanks, and the Indians. You know it, too. Live it. The Niners, now that's where he wants to go to play for his boy Shanahan. That's all there is to it. His best job is in Washington, and that's all there is to it. And then if that fails this year and he doesn't succeed and get to the playoffs and win and put up big numbers, he's going to go to San Francisco. That's the same place we were talking about him going last night.
I can't fault him also for waiting a year here, and I think he talked about this today too. You know, there's been some personnel changes. You know, Garcon and DeSean Jackson are gone. They bring in Terrell Pryor. They're going to give the kid Doxson, who they drafted in the first round last year, more of a chance. He's got some new pieces that are going to be around
him. Do you think they actually got better or worse?
Well, DeSean Jackson and Garcon are established NFL receivers who are towards the ender side of their careers. Pryor had a great year in Cleveland last year. You know nothing about the kid Doxson yet.
So you believe that Garcon and Jackson are done or just headed toward done?
I'm not saying they're done.
So
I think Garcon's
close. You're saying they're
on
Route 66 driving through going down the highway toward the end of their career.
I'm just saying I think it's good for him to see if he fits with these couple of new pieces that they're going to have.
Where did Garcon go again? I can't remember.
I mean, that's worthless
how
that
is.
Guy
but,
is. I mean,
figure out where he went.
We know DeSean went to Tampa.
I know he went to Tampa, and I love him with Evans. And he went to the Niners, so he'd go play with him again.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, sign up to be an O'Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O'Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts C-Store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on to Mahogany and wax up with us. Cody Stutz does middays on 610 in Houston. And we thought we'd bring him on the bench tonight to wax up. There's so much going on down in H-Town. How's it going, Cody?
It's going fantastic, man. How's things up here in your neck of the woods?
Bro, I can't complain at all. It's steamy. We're loving life. Everything's cool. Let's start by talking about Correa's injury. I think that's a tough blow for that team. He's such a stud. What's the deal now? Torn ligaments, they're going to operate on it? And how long are they saying he'll be out?
So he's got the same thing that Trout went through earlier this year. He's got the torn ligament. He hurt himself sliding into home with a 6-0 lead in the first week of July at Atlanta. The 6-0 lead, he slid into home and hurt his hand. He re-aggravated it last night, and so he'll have surgery. 6 weeks is best-case scenario. 8 weeks is worst-case scenario. Trout came back from it in 7.5 weeks. He's totally fine. So if Correa comes back in 8 weeks, he comes back with about 18 games left in the regular season, plenty of time to get going. I think what is the craziest part about this is he was crushing the baseball in between when he hurt himself and when he re-aggravated it last night. And that just shows you just how talented this guy is. Major blow. I think the Astros, with this big lead, thank God they did so good to start the season. This big lead built in. It's not as bad as, say, if it was a 4 or 5 game lead out there in the AL West.
So, Cody, what is this? He was on pace for one of his best years ever. He's, you know, incredible. How does it affect, do you believe, the rest of that lineup now? Because they have so many studs, Springer, Altuve. But, I mean, this guy had already driven in 67 runs, hitting 320, 20 home runs. He's sickening talent. What does it do to their lineup without him?
So the Astros had a really good chance to finish with, I don't know, three of the top five, three of the top four in the MVP. I mean, Judge is running away with this thing. Springer and Altuve had arguably been more important than Correa to this lineup, depending on who you ask. With Correa out, the guy that's going to get the majority of the time in his place, Marwin Gonzalez. And that's one of the guys that's been a big key to this Astros team this year. Marwin Gonzalez is a part-time player who has taken his part-time opportunity and gone to the next level this year. He's hitting better than he's ever seen. He's crushing the ball. His defense is better. Marwin Gonzalez has turned into one of the best backups in baseball, if not the best backup in baseball. So he's going to get the majority of the time there in Correa's spot. Obviously, Alex Bregman, who was drafted as a shortstop, he plays third base now. They're going to stick him over at shortstop for a while. They brought up a kid from the minors to play a little bit of third base. But Marwin Gonzalez is going to slot in. They're going to have to move some of these guys around. So Marwin, not going to be the four hitter in this lineup a lot like Correa was. He's a 5-6 or a two hitter in this lineup. So you're going to rely on Evan Gattis. You're going to rely on Brian McCann, the two catchers / DH for this team. And then Carlos Beltran is this team's everyday DH for the most part. Hasn't been hitting well, but they're relying on the fact that Beltran is a veteran. He's going to get it turned around and get it going for this team at some point. So Beltran's going to have to carry the load in the four spot along with McCann and Gattis, and then Marwin's going to have to carry Correa's spot itself.
Cody Stutes with us from Houston. So, Cody, tonight Gonzalez went 1 for 4 with a run scored. You're right, he's hitting over 300. And they won the game over Seattle 6-2. Incredible record on the season. Clearly one of the best teams in baseball. Was there any reaction at all? Did anyone care at all that the Dodgers actually passed them as the, you know, best team in baseball, perhaps, and the record that they have and how many games they've won and how hot they've been? Did anyone in Houston care or take notice to that?
It's something that you're definitely paying attention to if you're an Astros fan. Here's the thing, though. Astros have the best road record in baseball, and at one point had a better road record than some teams had home records who were successful in this league so far. They're a good road team. But here's the thing. You don't want to have to go to Dodger Stadium in game one or game two of the World Series. You want to play at Minute Maid Park. You want to be at home in the World Series. That is the race the Astros are paying attention to. That's the race their fans are paying attention to. You want to have a better record than the Dodgers. You do not want to go on the road to start the World Series, because the last time they were on the road in the World Series, it got out of hand in a hurry for the Astros.
So, Cody, tell me about Brad Peacock. Unbelievable, this guy. He did it again tonight, allowed 3 hits, 1 run, struck out 9 in 7 innings, one of his longest starts ever, and his 5th straight win. No one anywhere nationally ever talks about the job Peacock is doing for this team.
Brad Peacock's one of the best stories on this team, and that's something to say when you look around at this team and the best team in baseball, and you got all these great stories. He was quite literally the last guy to make this team in spring training. He was the long reliever. He was the guy that came in if games got out of hand. It just so happened they were forced to start him because they scratched a starter one time. He performed pretty well. They had some other starters kind of get a little jittery. They decided to start stretching Brad Peacock out. He's changed the way he throws his slider this year, which is the reason for his success. He's much more confident. He's a bulldog, and when he's not wasting pitches And when he's on, he's a really effective pitcher. A lot of the stuff, like what you saw tonight, the fact that Brad Peacock is 8-1, I'm not even sure that you could have predicted Brad Peacock before the season started was going to win 8 more games in his Major League Baseball career. And the fact that he's doing this is just incredible. It's a big testament to this Astros pitching staff, which saw something in spring training because he had impressive spring training performances, adjusted him in the offseason, and now he's turned into this. After he's started in the bullpen, they moved him into the rotation. He's stretched him out. It's been fantastic. I don't know that that's a guy you're going to rely upon to be the third starter when the playoffs come, but he can certainly help you down the stretch. He can help you in that race against the Dodgers. And if he can go 7 innings on a semi-consistent basis, or maybe just 6 innings every now and then, more than the 5 innings he typically gives the Astros, that at least saves that bullpen just a little bit, because that bullpen is one of the most overworked bullpens in baseball.
Cody Stoots, he does middays on 610 in Houston. Paxton and Morton tomorrow. Paxton's a good pitcher for Seattle, but Charlie Morton's done a solid job for the Astros as well. Do you think he can beat Paxton tomorrow?
Charlie Morton is really fascinating because when he started the year with the Phillies last year before he got hurt, everyone was impressed with his velocity and what he had done. And then he got hurt and missed the rest of the season for the Phillies. One of our guys on staff this year is a huge Phillies fan. The Astros signed him. And we kind of joke about, hey, you know, Charlie Morton, whatever, whatever. Comes in this year actually really good, coming back from a lat strain, still working into form. I think he's good enough. The thing with this Astros pitching staff for the regular season, maybe even the playoffs, is you don't have to be great. You don't even really have to be good every single night to get a win. Paxton's a really good pitcher. He gave the Astros trouble early on in the year, but this lineup's clicking right now. Morton and all these guys go to the mound with an extreme amount of confidence because this is one of the best offenses we've seen in a long time in Houston, and they're getting it done for these pitchers.
Let's switch gears. Cody Stoots with us from Houston and talk about the Rockets. First of all, the latest rumor is, and I'm sure you've seen it, is that the restaurateur billionaire Tillman Fertitta is possibly interested in buying the Rockets from Alexander. We've heard that there's serious patience here in this deal, in this transaction, that they're going to take their time. So the first name that comes up may or may not get everybody all excited, because they may very well let several people be interested in this team before they make a decision. What do you know about the interest from Fertitta?
Tillman Fertitta was the first person to jump out there and say, look, I'd love a shot buying these guys. He could be one of those big money guys. He's not going to own it by himself. Nobody really owns a major sports franchise by themselves anymore, but he'll be the majority owner if he does choose to pursue the Rockets. He's a huge, huge Houston guy. So that's one of the big positive things. He cares about Houston. He loves Houston. He's a giant University of Houston supporter. He's one of the guys that was at the forefront of trying to keep Tom Herman here before he left for Texas. I mean, Fertitta was rumored to be willing to go very, very high and out of his pocket to keep Tom Herman if financially they wanted to be able to try to compete. He's never spared an expense for the University of Houston. It would lead you to believe he would never spare an expense for running a sports franchise in the professional level. That being said, he's a very smart businessman. And anybody that comes in and tries to run the Rockets exclusively like a business is not going to like what they end up finding out about down the road, the luxury tax that the Rockets are going to have to pay and things of that nature, because they do spend a lot of money. That was one of the biggest things with Les Alexander, the current owner, the one who's selling it now, is he was always willing to pay luxury taxes. He was always willing to spend on coaches. He was willing to eat salaries of people who weren't doing well. And he's willing to spend on personnel and advanced metrics people and things of that nature. Always willing to spend. That's what the city of Houston will expect from the next owner. And the next owner is going to have to understand when he comes in, he's coming into not only what he pays for the team, he's going to start having to cutting checks early before he starts making his money back.
He owns Golden Nugget Hotel Casinos, Morton Steakhouse, Rainforest Cafes. They have those in all over the place and in Vegas at the MGM. The Bubba Gump Shrimp Company and McCormick & Schmidt's seafood restaurants. He owns a lot of stuff. Anyway, he offered to buy them before in 93, but they sold it to Alexander. Respectfully, Cody, I got 1 minute left. Tell me what you think of if this Melo deal will work. How do they make it work?
They just got to wait for New York. They got to wait for New York. New York has to find that right piece they want from those other teams. They don't want Ryan Anderson. They don't want Ryan Anderson, which is the Rockets' current power forward. They want Anderson to go to a different team, another team, maybe another two teams get involved, and they end up with some sort of pick or some sort of young player. So the Rockets have to involve other teams. I know when the Knicks held it up last week, they didn't really do the other teams a solid. Other teams were upset that the Knicks were holding things up. The Rockets got to reengage another team and try to get Melo done. He wants to be in Houston. He's operating. Every rumor is that he's operating like he will be traded to Houston, and that's where he wants to be. So that's what we're all expecting, is Melo being in a Rockets jersey. And for all, I got to leave you with this, an outside buyer for the Rockets here. Look at China. The Rockets are one of the most popular teams in China. A Chinese business group with the face of Yao Ming on the front of it, that's a squad that could end up buying the Rockets.
Yeah, you know, Mafia was talking about that last night, about the same thing, and I was taken back by it. But now that you're saying it again, I'm starting to believe, I guess. Cody, great stuff tonight, brother. Awesome job. Keep doing your thing on 610. We appreciate you coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio. We'll catch up down the road. We'll talk more about the Astros and Texans once their season gets rolling. Thanks, buddy.
Anytime, man. Love listening to you.
My man, Cody Stoots, down in Houston on 610 getting benched. We got 2 hours to go on the Mahogany. We're waxing it up. A good one in Fenway. Toronto's taking a 4-3 lead on the Red Sox. We got it all for you tonight on the bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.